I'm going to read the first five verses, and we'll go from there. This is a sobering passage of Scripture, to say the least. It begins, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them," that is the people that were witnessing these acts, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, 'Behold the man.'" Now, Pilate speaks two precious truths here, though I'm sure he didn't know what he was saying. He said, "I find no fault in him." There was no fault in him. He said a truth, but he didn't know it. But I want us to look at these last three words in verse 5. "Behold the man." As we consider and approach such a sobering situation as is before us, I ask each of us to quite simply behold the man Christ Jesus as he is revealed in Scripture. And I ask the Holy Spirit to accompany, or we will not be able to behold him. Now, it is said here in this 19th chapter, in this 5th verse, it is said here in mockery, "Behold the man." But we, as those who have passed from death to life, we behold him in adoration and worship. And that's what I desire to do this morning. The first point, the first thought is, let us behold him in his incarnation and in his birth. Matthew chapter 1. Behold the man. Well, let us behold this man in his birth, or that is, in his incarnation. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 20. "But while he," Joseph, "thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.' Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is being interpreted, 'God with us.'" God with us. Let us behold this man, Christ Jesus, in his birth. Oh, hear, I beseech you, nay, I implore you, to behold the incarnation of the Son of God, God with us. Prophesied many years before the event actually took place in Bethlehem, "Behold your King, behold your God," comes, and he has a direct and specific purpose. That is to save or deliver his people from their abominations. From their abominations. The word "behold" in our text in John means see. Simply see. Listen. Behold the man. Literally, see the being. See the being. Behold the man. Reverence him. Worship him. Plead unto him for mercy, full and free. He shall save. There's no question. The Lord Jesus Christ was sent among men to call and to quicken and to redeem, buy back his people from their sins. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Behold the man as he grows. Behold him as he grows. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40 through 52. And the child, the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew it not. But they, supposing him to have been in company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and they came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. I ask you to behold this young man. Behold the man. No man ever was filled with the Spirit of wisdom or grace as was this young man. Behold him now, able to give grace, for grace is what he possesses. Able to impart the wisdom, the knowledge of the Savior, the knowledge of God, because he is wisdom itself. Able to impart knowledge and wisdom of our sins and how far short of God's law and God's glory we came. Able to impart wisdom. To see him only and always about his father's business. We can't say that. We must, in order to be accepted, it says it must be perfect. And here we see perfection. Here we see perfection. The child grew as a man, the God-man, and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. There was never the grace of God upon anyone like the Lord Jesus Christ. So behold him in his incarnation, his birth. And behold him now as he is a young man. No sin. Not able to sin. Perfect. Pure. And spotless. Our substitute. As a ask my poor sinful friend, my weak brother, or even if you're a stalwart saint, wisdom and favor are his to give. In all your seeking and all my seeking, may we seek wisdom and grace to love and adore our God. We will never ever be satisfied with human wisdom. We will never ever be satisfied with human grace, if I can say the term such. But trust him wholly and find him wholly true. Only he can and has satisfied God's justice, even at this age. Thirdly, Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Behold him in his time, at the time of his baptism. Behold the Lord Jesus Christ in the time of his baptism. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Matthew 3:13, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Behold the man Christ Jesus in the time of his baptism. See him fulfilling all righteousness, all the righteousness required of God in his holy law, of which we are incapable. See him as the Father declares, this is my beloved Son, in whom, in him, I am well pleased. This one, the man, Christ Jesus, God is well pleased and no other. This one, like no other. This one, trust, believe in him. God is only pleased with his Son and all those who are in him. In him. Oh, to be found in him, said Paul, not having his own righteousness, but Christ's righteousness. Behold the man. Behold the man. Matthew chapter 4. Behold the man as he is tempted. Matthew chapter 4. The next chapter, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and set up on a pinnacle of the temple. Said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him unto an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Behold the man in his dire temptation, that's tested or tried. He was to crush the serpent's head, and this is, he began to crush the serpent's head here. Behold our victor. Behold one in whom Satan found nothing. Holy, harmless, undefiled, says Hebrews. And all this he did to glorify God and to reconcile his dear children. He never sinned, never faltered. This was full, undiluted, an undiluted trial and temptation upon his very character. Satan found nothing in him, but we find everything in him. Satan could find nothing in him, but we find our all in all in him. Again, he did this to fulfill all the Old Testament type shadows and pictures of how God in Christ Jesus can both be just and the justifier. Fifthly, behold the man as he calls out his very own. Mark chapter 1. Behold the man as he calls out his people. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 22, and chapter 3, 13 and 14. Verse 16 of Mark chapter 1. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further, hence he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after Christ. And they went into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. Chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 of Mark. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. And he goeth up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. And Christ ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that they might send, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness, and to cast out devils. He goeth up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would. So I ask you, I implore you to behold the man, Christ Jesus, as he calls out his very own. Behold the man, calling chosen sinners unto himself. He calls whom he wills. Do I, do you follow Christ, the Christ? If you do so by the unsolicited, free, sovereign grace of God. No free will here. There's no partial salvation. There's no not divine cooperation between you and God. He has done it all. He calls, we follow. He lives, we die daily. He dies, we live eternally. Oh, the debt to God and His grace we surely owe. And we know it. And the believer is thankful. The believer knows if God had not chosen him, if this man, the man in the manger, if this man who grew and God was with him, if this man that was baptized, this man who was tempted, this man who calls out his prayer, and they know if this man had not initiated the workings of grace in our hearts, we would be of all men most miserable. Nextly, John chapter 19, our text. Behold the man as he suffers and dies at Calvary's tree. We read the first 5 verses. Let me read through verse 18. Behold the man, the end of verse chapter 19, verse 5, verse 6. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee? And Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whoso maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was at the preparation of the Passover, and about the 6th hour, that he said unto the Jews, behold your king. And they cried, away with him, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, the two other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. We see here a full sacrifice. We see here a full atonement made for sin. We see here the full honoring of God's justice. Therefore, we also see full pardon for those for whom it was prepared. Full substitution, full reconciliation, justification, righteousness, for we now have in this substitutionary act the righteousness of Christ. Let me read to you what is written about this particular verse, verse 5, behold the man in John 19. If there be one place where our Lord Jesus most fully becomes the joy and comfort of his people, it is where he plunged deepest into the depths of woe. Come hither, gracious souls, and behold the man in the Garden of Gethsemane. Behold his heart so brimming with love that he cannot hold it in, so full of sorrow that it must find a vent. Behold the bloody sweat as it distills from every pore of his body and falls upon the ground. Behold the man as they drive the nails into his hands and feet. Look up, repenting sinners, and see the sorrowful image of your suffering Lord. Mark him as the ruby drops stand on the thorn crown and adorn with priceless gems the diadem of the King of Misery. Behold the man when all his bones are out of joint and he is poured out like water and brought into the dust of death. God hath forsaken him. Hell compassed him about. Behold and see, was there ever sorrow like unto his sorrow that is done unto him? All ye that pass by, draw near and look upon this spectacle of grief, unique, unparalleled, a wonder to men and angels, a prodigy unmatched. Behold the emperor of woe, who had no equal or rival in his agonies. Gaze upon him, ye mourners, for if there be not consolation in a crucified Christ, there is no joy in earth or heaven. If in the ransom price of his blood there be not yet hope, ye harps of heaven, there is no joy in you, and the right hand of God shall know no pleasures forevermore. We have only to sit more continually at the cross feet to be less troubled with our doubts and woes. We have but to see his sorrows, and our sorrows we shall be ashamed to mention. We have but to gaze into his wounds and heal our own. If we would live aright, it must be by the contemplation of his death. If we would rise to dignity, it must be by considering his humiliation and his sorrow. Behold the man, Christ Jesus. And lastly, let us behold the man resurrected and seated in heaven for us. Death could never hold him. He is now seated at the right hand of Majesty on high. Death could never hold him. Satan could never have the victory over him. And our sins would never sink him eternally. He must prove successful. He must achieve triumphant, show himself distinctive in the singular act of accomplished redemption. Behold the man, having obtained eternal redemption for us, says Hebrews. He was 3 days in the grave. He rose up in total supremacy. And now he is seated by the right hand of the Majesty on high, making an open show of his enemies and finally crushing the serpent's head. So I close and I ask you, I ask me, can we behold the man, Christ Jesus? May we forget about ourselves and trust him evermore. Behold the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Bruce, would you close this?